You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Good stuff from Chris Tabor there, obviously saying, you know, not going to be a huge change, something they'll work on. But I thought the big news saying that Justin Gilbert will get an opportunity to return kicks this year. People on Twitter, at Grammy voter Howard Pearl says, yes, got to get some use out of the first rounder. Baneful 216 says he can't do anything else. He might as well get what he's good at in college. Six kick returns for touchdowns from Justin Gilbert in college. So it'll be good to see him.
I'd love to see a little bit of both. The kick returning I want to see him play some corner. Absolutely. Yeah. That's why we drafted him.
It will be excellent. Excellent. By the way, Roger Goodell is having his press conference, the NFL owners meetings, about 5 minutes. That should be interesting, to say the very, very least there.
Maybe we can catch a piece of that.
Maybe we can. Let's go right now, catch a piece of our guy, Johnny B. in Pittsburgh. Johnny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Well, I tell you how great it is. I really, really have to give kudos to, you know, Cam from Canada. Here's why. Everything he hit on is basically dead on. Let me say, here's why. The offensive line now is the best in probably the NFL. But also,
Dallas would be up there, but yeah, one of the top. Yeah, I agree.
Well, here's what's interesting, and here's what I think it really comes down to, Nathan. Our defense, and here's why. With the ability now to have Tremont Williams with Hayden, but with Shelton, Starks, and Kruger, don't you think that we could actually use Gilbert and basically blitz the heck out of teams? Because if you look back, for instance, to the 90 Steelers when Cowher had Dom Capers there, remember, and they had Kevin Green on the outside, I feel our defense has the ability, the speed, and our secondary, I mean, is incredible because think about this for 1 second. Here's Pittsburgh's secondary. The number one cornerback is William Gay, followed by Cortez Allen, and the safeties are Mike Mitchell and Shamarco Thomas. I feel our defense is going to be so dominant, and the offensive line is there. Question is, Nathan, can the quarterback and running back situations, you know, get us over the hump? What do you feel? What do you think about that?
They're going to have to. I mean, it's going to be about playing good defense. I do think this has an opportunity to be a dominant defense because when you can cover, it helps your pass rush. And what the problem was last year is you couldn't stop the run to set up those third and longs. Well, with getting everybody back healthy, drafting Danny Shelton, drafting Xavier Cooper, you're expecting your defensive line to be stout at the point of attack. And now you're freeing up the speed of Mingo, Orchard, Kruger to get after the quarterback, Armonte Bryant, as well. So hopefully that's what they can do because they're going to have to play that lockdown defense, control the football, running it on offense, and use that ground game to set up play action to take advantage of what they're going to be able to do throwing the football.
I think you definitely do. And, I mean, on the other side of the – why don't we? We're going to catch a piece of that Roger Goodell press conference live from the
The owner's
league
meetings
offices,
right now.
Owner's meetings.
Our guy Disco Puma wonders if the owners are going to boo him like they do at the draft.
Sure, that would be hilarious.
That would be awesome.
Where we are in that, but we have Atlanta, New Orleans, Miami, and Tampa Bay who are – our four finalist cities. There is a provision for Super Bowl 54. If there is a team in Los Angeles, that could be included in the process. So that is, again, a positive update. We talked about LA for an extensive time this morning with our membership and a report from the committee. And we had an international update. Again, the tremendous growth that we're seeing of our game on a global basis, not just the UK, a great deal of discussion on Mexico, Germany, and also into South America this morning. And so we're very positive about that. And a lot of updates on health and safety. As you all know, we made some significant changes in March with the medical timeout. We went through that in great detail to make sure that the clubs understood how we were approaching that, how we were using the ATC spotter in the context of that, as well as the visiting team physician who is another resource for us to provide better care for our players and staff when they come in from a visiting city so that if they need additional care, whether it's hospitalization, whether it's prescription drugs, anything along those lines, we will have a local physician that will expedite that and try to assist us on that basis. We also heard a report from the Conduct Committee. The Conduct Committee has met on a regular basis since being formed early this year. Mike Bidwell and his team have done a terrific job on the continuing education, the reporting obligations for our teams when there are incidents, which was very important to us. And of course, our continuing effort on character and values and how that's going to be implemented in everything we do this coming season and for the future. I think those are the key issues. One final thing, I guess, was a very important issue for us, which is stadium security, making sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that our stadiums are secure from outside threat, but also secure in the sense of when we're in our stadiums and our fans are in our stadiums, that we're having the best experience possible. And we want to make sure that they're safe and that when they leave our facilities, they had a positive experience. So that's an important initiative which we continue to work on. So I'll be happy to take your questions.
Do you have microphones? If you could wait for a microphone, please.
Can I go? Roger, I'm sure you're aware of what Robert Kraft told us yesterday. Did you have any discussions with him over the last couple of days about how he would handle that? And the other question the NFLPA has asked, that you recuse yourself from the Brady appeal. Will you do that?
Two things. The decision that Robert made was his decision. I admire and respect Robert, as you all know. We've had plenty of discussions over the last couple of weeks. And this was his initiative and something he wanted to do. And I certainly admire the step he took. We may disagree on things, but that's not unusual. That happens. Your second question was on... Yeah, I've been focusing on the meetings. I'm not up to date on that other than the fact that I'm aware of that. We obviously, when we get back tomorrow, we will focus that, give it full due consideration, and make sure that we do the appropriate thing. I'll come back to you.
Roger, will Robert Kraft's decision for the Patriots to accept their penalties in any way affect Tom Brady's appeal and your hearing of it?
No. Yes.
That'd be part of it. But let me ask, can you address, would you allow Tom Brady a second chance to show cooperation by, say, turning over emails, and could that help an appeal to you?
You know, I'm not going to get into hypotheticals. We have a process here. It's long established. I look forward to hearing directly from Tom if there's new information or there's information that can be helpful to us in getting this right. I want to hear directly from Tom on that.
How do you address the question of how can you be fair hearing the appeal after you've already meted out judgment?
Well, two things. First off, it was an independent investigation. It was done by Ted Wells. He drew a conclusion about whether there was a violation or not. He drew the facts and drew the investigation. I got a chance to read the report just shortly before you did. And so we've been very transparent on that side of it. The second part is once we had the Wells report, our staff, led by Troy Vincent, who handles these matters on a regular basis and has all spring, immediately began meetings. I participated in some of those meetings, so I understood the discussion that they were having. Troy made a recommendation. I authorized him to go ahead and issue that, as I do in every other case.
Did the league ask for the suspension of those Patriot staffers?
Did what?
Did the league ask the Patriots to suspend those staffers? That has
no.
been a report.
No.
We have Ben Bowlen.
Curious, when Ted Wells comes back with his information and his report, the Patriots certainly scrutinized the report and had many issues with some of his conclusions. How much did you scrutinize the report, or did you accept his findings?
Of course, you read the report, you scrutinize it, but that's also why we have a process. So if issues are raised either in the context of an appeal or outside of that, you look at that and what you're trying to do is get it right. And I thought his report was very clear. It was comprehensive. But we are always open if there's new information that can get us to a better place.
Tom Kern.
Roger, Ted Wells' report really didn't look, how you doing? Didn't look inward at the league very much in terms of how it conducted the investigation early on, and both with some of the media leaks and the demeanor of folks early on. Do you feel as if the league has an obligation to be a little bit more transparent in how it was conducted because the Patriots perceive a level of bias from the outset?
Well, Tom, a couple things on that. I think Ted Wells did address that in his report. I think he addressed it. I asked him specifically when I engaged him to evaluate the league's conduct to determine what we could have done differently. And I think he made his views very clear in the report. So I would disagree on that point. That is something that whenever we have an incident, we look at it, we see what could we have done differently, how could we improve, and we'll continue to do that.
The initial media leak of 11 of 13, well, they kind of hung out there. I think that's really what...
The initial what?
The initial report of 11 of 13 balls, 11 of 12 balls being 2 pounds under, that seemed really to foment public agitation and media agitation. And that kind of stuck out there, and it could have only come from the league. That's what I guess I'm driving at. I should have been more specific.
Well, as I say, we've given all that to Ted. Ted's had the opportunity to evaluate that. So.
Scott Reed, yep. Orange County.
Roger, could you elaborate a little bit more on how the provision for Super Bowl 54 would work in case of an LA?
I'm sorry.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on how the Super Bowl provision for 54 would work in case of an LA team? And how far up do you see the window, the relocation window moving up?
Well, on the 54 Super Bowl, later next spring, I think, if there is a team that relocates to Los Angeles, at that point in time, they could submit an application to be considered for Super Bowl 54, and they would have to obviously qualify for that, and then it would be included in the bid process. So in that case, there would be 4 teams bidding on 54. If that doesn't happen, there'd be 3 teams bidding on that.
Yeah, that was the commissioner, Roger Goodell, his press conference at the NFL owners' meetings taking place right now. I thought it was interesting. Answer 2 questions pretty quickly. You know, does this impact what you're going to do with Tom Brady? No. Does it also, the other one was, did the NFL ask them to suspend those people? No. He said that was the team's call. And then Tom Curran asked about the early leak of the false PSI info to ESPN, and Roger Goodell did not answer that. I thought that was a very, very interesting non-answer that he gave right there. So
yeah, and I think from a commissioner's perspective, you know, you have to understand that this man, he was a businessman and lawyer prior to being the commissioner. So to be in front of the shooting gallery is not very difficult for him, and he strategically knows what to say and what not to say. And even as the commissioner, and also, too, I'm sure he has a team of people coaching him to prep him for today as well.
You would think so.
Just the same way that, you know, Johnny was prepped for those combine interviews.
Of course he was. When we come back, we're going to play a little After Further Review here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's also your last chance to tweet us your questions at Browns_Daily, at Nathan's Grab, MeltWilhelm35, using the hashtag mailbag. Any Browns questions you got, we'll get to when we open up the mailbag in our final segment. But After Further Review comes up next.